The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamu alaikum and so welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about haste in Islam. Be with IRIB English Radio.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue upon my eyes, with a thankful heart, today is another brand new start. I feel so positive, just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do,
many things, yeah,
that can make me feel so close to you.
Today, Wednesday, is the 7th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 19th of May 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter read, verse 6 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ويستعجلونك بالسيئة قبل الحسنة وقد خلت من قبلهم المثلات وإن ربك لذو مغفرة للناس على ظلمهم وإن ربك لشديد العقاب.
They impatiently urge you to bring about evil before good, while there has already occurred before them similar punishments to what they demand. And indeed, your Lord is full of forgiveness for the people, despite their wrongdoing. And indeed, your Lord is severe in penalty.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Do they think that Allah's punishment is mere deception, despite the fact that there are divine penalties which were sent down upon the previous rogue, unruly nations, the news of which have been recorded on the pages of history and in the heart of the earth? Then the verse adds implication that the Lord is forgiving towards the people, though they are committing cruelty, and at the same time he is capable of inflicting severe punishment as well.
Some might say this world today shows God's left us to our mistakes, oh, he has never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across Balaam suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. And somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. And deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you?
Warning against haste. These are servants of Allah, some examples of objectionable haste. However, hastening to win the good pleasure of Allah, exalted be He, and to do good deeds is a praiseworthy trait and one of the qualities of all Allah's prophets. Verily, they used to hasten unto the good deeds, and they used to call on us with hope and fear, and used to humble themselves before us. Chapter Anbiya, verse 90. Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, used to haste to say and do anything that would win him Allah's good pleasure. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that Musa said, "And I hasten to you, O my Lord, that you might be pleased." Chapter Taha, verse 84.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to talk about making haste as viewed from the perspective of Islamic instructions. According to certain other wise sayings, making haste before everything or all the situation or context being ripe is a kind of is an act which brings about grief in the end. We find that in this connection, the reader, the audience may refer to the book Ghurar al-Hikam, which is a collection of thousands of short sayings, short and wise sayings of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin al-Salam. If you check the book of Ghurar al-Hikam, and if you look up, I mean, the right words or the right terms regarding patience, you can come up with this kind of religious instructions regarding why one shouldn't make haste in this regard. At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it to his companions, and by extension to all of us. I mean, without any age or race or national limit, that people have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for five things. One of them is for youth before being an old, before growing very old. Another one is health before ailment or illness. Another one is wealth before becoming poor, and opportunities before being entangled in many problems. And finally, everybody has to be grateful for the grace of being alive rather than dying, because so long as we are alive, we may do something quite important and significant and supportive to other people, while after death, nobody can do anything.
One light, one hope, one heart, one soul, one chance to know, one time to go.
Just one call from my heart pulls me to a world apart. There's just one word that I hear, one trumpet calls me near. When the spring has been unwound, what is lost will soon be.
Haste, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In haste, there is regret. It is seldom that the view of a hasty person turns out to be correct. It is seldom that the shame of the hasty is successful, or that the love of the one who is fed up lasts. One who acts hastily is made to stumble by error.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the.
Look before you leap. One of the steps on avoiding haste is to understand the why of your behavior. You're aware that you do it, that's a good first step. Take it deeper to why you do it. Get off autopilot, so when you are about to jump or have jumped to conclusions, you stop, reflect, and understand what's behind the behavior. What, where, what are you feeling? What do you believe or think? How can you refrain or become more aware so you behave differently? Another step is to confirm your conclusions before acting. Making up stories about what others think or why they take certain actions is extremely detrimental to relationship and to your own energy. Instead, get answers directly from someone rather than making assumptions, especially if you're thinking about taking action. Try to work on your ability to trust others and actively listen without automatically imposing your belief and thoughts. Inshallah.
The power of resolve, the power of azm, is that you don't really tend to forget. Because think about it, most of the things that we want to do on a daily basis, most of the habits, it's not that we quit them, it's we forget to do them because we don't have a strong enough resolve. So if you really want to stick to something, you develop resolve, you develop resoluteness, you develop a sense of determination. So how do we build resolve? You know, sometimes we have the tendency of looking at people who are successful, like, you know, athletes and people who are highly skilled in their professions, and we tend to think that they have some sort of magic wand or magic fairy dust that they pour on a task and all of a sudden it comes into fruition. The way that you create resolve is by systems. You have to develop systems in place for your life, for anything that you're trying to accomplish. And those systems usually comprise of certain habits that are done day in and day out, regardless of whether you're motivated or not, whether you're thinking about it or not. It's automatic. It happens every single day. And so it's in the small, mundane, sometimes even boring things that we repeat on a daily basis that build ourselves, that build our resolve, and that build our determination to continue down that road. So just to share a quote with you that I read earlier, it says that researchers estimate 40 to 50% of our actions on any given day are done out of habit. That's why it's so important to build good habits into our life, incorporate good habits, and to leave the bad ones out. So if you think about it, if you think about the ritual Islamic practices, think about praying, think about fasting, what begins to happen in the mind? Well, it's a development of habits. And we know now, because of the idea of the concept of neuroplasticity, that our brains can actually change. If you do something enough, if you repeat something enough on a regular basis, the biology of your brain changes. Those areas that you've worked on, because every time you're practicing a habit and every time you repeat a habit, there are certain parts of your brain that are activated. And the more they are activated, the more they are strengthened. That's why people who, for instance, practice having a good memory eventually build their memory. People who practice certain skills, that part of the brain that is responsible for the execution of that skill actually strengthens. So the more we engage with positive daily habits, the more the biology of our brain is strengthened and the less we rely on motivation, right?
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and a happy morning to you all. Let us begin the day by focusing on a saying of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. O people, he who notices his own flaws will give up chasing others' flaws. And he who is satisfied with what Allah had endowed him will not be sad for what is in the hands of others.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, in continuing the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he is mentioning the battalions under the Aql and the battalions under Jahl, we have come to the, according to my particular text that I have in front of me, the 18th phrase of the Imam alayhi salam. So basically the 18th comparison, the 18th trait, that previously 17 traits were mentioned, that is for Aql and for the intellect, and 17 were mentioned for Jahl. And what is important to note, or you should have noted, is that there is an interaction between these traits, and that there are also levels between these traits. You cannot say, oh, that this, but no. According to a person's knowledge, according to a person's belief, iman, and so on and so forth, there are levels to these traits and to these characteristics that the Imam has mentioned. And as you can see clearly in this particular segment of the tradition, Imam mentions two important qualities. And obviously, as we'll note, that these bring up others. So the Imam mentions in this segment the concept of tawadhu, which is a humility, a humbleness. You know, not being, obviously, and the zid of it, and the opposite, the antonym of it being kibr, pride, arrogance, you know. So one of the effects of this, one only possible effects of this, is this. That when a person does something and he is humble about it, meaning what? Meaning that he understands that the ability to do this particular act is not from me, nor am I deserving of that particular praise. The praise belongs somewhere else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the ability to do it. Hence, the praise that I am getting should go to him. But obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this system that you have to thank his creation. And in doing so, you are thanking the creator. So this person knows that I'm not the one being thanked. Allah is the one being thanked. So this brings about the concept of dependence. Knowing that a person is always dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the flip side, if a person doesn't have this and he feels that he is the one who did everything and he is the controller of his destiny, or rather he is the master of his destiny, then obviously this type of arrogance, that I am the man, you know, brings about the concept of independence. And it takes a person further away from the source of his existence, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, it is important that when we do a particular act, we know where the source of this act is, and to know that we are dependent beings on the mercy and on the blessings and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, in continuing this tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in our next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the Tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha and verses 1 to 4 of Surah Al-Baqarah recited by Brother Muhammad Hussein Saidian. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم تقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just heard was the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha as well as Surah Al-Baqarah verses 1 to 4 by Brother Muhammad Hussein Saeedian. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We have the pronunciation of two letters that is really important that we pay attention to the correct way of pronouncing them. Ha and ayn. Both of these two letters are pronounced in the middle of the throat, the pharynx. Alhamdu al-alamin. What's the difference? There's a difference between these two letters. Ha is voiceless. The vocal cords don't vibrate when pronouncing ha, while in ayn, the vocal cords vibrate when pronouncing ayn. So ayn is voiced, ha is voiceless. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Now in this verse, the third verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, we have the issue of tafkhim of the letter Ra. Ra is pronounced with tafkhim in both the words Ar-Rahman and also in Ar-Rahim, because both of the Ra's have a fatha, and whenever Ra has a fatha, it should be pronounced with tafkhim. Maliki yawmiddin. Maliki yawmiddin. All of the letters in this verse are letters of istifal. They have to be pronounced with tarqiq. Tarqiq is the opposite of tafkhim. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. In the word الصراط, we have a sad that is pronounced at the lowest level of tafkhim because of the kasra, and we have a ta which also has tafkhim at the second highest level because the ta has a fatha. صراط اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And the qaf is also a letter of isti'la, which is pronounced at the lowest level of tafkhim. Shirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim, walallah. Okay, we have sirata, the sad and the ra and the ta, they're all pronounced with tafkhim. Then we have ghayr al-maghdub. Ghayn in ghayr has to be pronounced with tafkhim because the ghayn has a fatha and it has the second highest level of tafkhim. And of course, the letters of isti'la are always pronounced with tafkhim, but the level of tafkhim could differ depending on the haraka or if it has a sukoon or whatnot. غير المغبوب مغبوب the غين. We have to hear the gurgling sound of غين. مغبوب عليهم ولا ضالين. And here we have the ضاد which has a شدة. You have to make sure that there's no sudden pause on the ضاد. If you say ولا ضالين, that's incorrect. ضاد is not a letter of shadda, it's a letter of rakhawa. See, we hold the ضاد a little longer, we stretch it. And then we have the matul lazim at the end. Okay, we don't have enough time to continue with Surah Al-Baqarah. I hope you enjoyed this segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to our program where we look at some of the beauties and intricacies and, you know, the impact that the Holy Quran has on the lives of certain individuals, or has been reported that this is what certain individuals or how they were impacted by certain verses of the Holy Quran. So today's episode we'll be speaking about a certain event that happened regarding the 36th verse of Surah Yasin. It is the 36th chapter of the Holy Quran. So 36. The verse is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها من بطنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. The translation is, Immaculate is He who has created all the kinds of what the earth grows, and of themselves, and of what they do not know. Now basically the word azwaja means a duality, two things, a couple, so to speak. So with this regard, it has been mentioned in the book, Ad-Durus Ad-Diniya, that one of the scholars from the holy city of Mashhad reports that a particular scholar or a particular scientist from Mashhad was on a boat, and he was discussing with the captain of that particular boat. And they came to this kind of discussion where the captain was saying that, you know, biologists and scientists in our time have discovered that there is this kind of principle of duality. What I mean by duality is that there needs to be two things in order for something else to come about, this concept of izdawaj, or this two things, this coupling. And this is in, not only is it within humans or animals, it is also within plants that this principle exists. And we see the concept of pollination and importance of insects in this regard. So the scholar from Mashhad answers him and says that, why are you, you know, taking pride in this issue that, you know, scientists have just recently found out? The Holy Quran has said this over 1,000 years ago. So the owner of the boat in this
Listen, he was speaking to God very surprised that, what do you mean? Where does the Holy Quran say this? And then this scholar from Mashhad recited this verse from Surah Yasin, the one that we recited. And the person who he was speaking to became, you know, very taken aback by this verse and became very surprised. And the scholar, then, that is a scholar from Mashhad, after reading this verse, after showing that, no, this issue of this coupling is not something new, that the Holy Quran speaks about it, not only in the animal kingdom, but in the plant kingdom as well, he then gifts this particular scientist that he was speaking to on the boat the Quran that he had with him. And it is mentioned here in the story, in this book of Ad-Durus al-Diniyah, that it was a Quran that was handwritten. It was a handwritten Quran, which he gifted to the scholar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hopefully, inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjat al-Islam Nasir Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
غم
به دل کسی نشوندن. من نمیدونم چجوری یه کاری دلش بگیره.
Never break a heart because it has negative consequences in your life. Even in a tradition, we read that if someone breaks a heart, it would be very difficult to compensate, even if you spend the whole world. Dear youths have to take care not to break someone's heart, especially their parents. In a true historic event, we read, once a wealthy man by the name of Hussein ibn Ala took 20 of his friends to Mecca and paid all their dues on this trip. He spent lots of money, and on different stations, he served his friends with food and water.
بعد مکه و اومد خدمت امام صادق توقع داشت آقا بگه باریکالله احسن چه خرجی.
When the Hajj pilgrimage was finished, he went to visit Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He expected the Imam to admire him for the generosity that he showed during this Hajj pilgrimage. Imam al-Sadiq told him, woe unto you who break the heart of the believers. Hussein ibn Ala was shocked by this reaction of Imam al-Sadiq and said, what did I do wrong, O Imam? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam replied, didn't you think that maybe among your friends is someone who wants to have a share in your generosity? Maybe some of your friends wanted to benefit from the rewards on paying on the way of Allah during this trip. You, by paying all the dues, took away opportunity from them. You made them feel like a poor. You break their heart. From this story, we understand that if you break a heart, it would be very difficult to compensate, even if you spend the whole world for that. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We've spoken about different aspects of humanitarian issues or things that are related to human beings. We want to take a different approach. We want to look at human rights through the scope and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam. How does Islam views human rights or humanitarian matters? Because we do understand that the concept and the notion of human rights, even the United Nations themselves, they signed the United Nations Treaty on the 10th of the 12th, 1948. So it was very late, and that was after the Second World War, and where the world was in chaos. Then they realized, they said, you know what, we need to come to terms and put laws and certain things just to make sure that things goes smoothly for people. And then they, you know, they wrote their 30 articles or so concerning human rights. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the day or the first day He created man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked at man from a different, when I say man, I don't mean the male gender, but generally speaking, human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in a way where they, to Him, they were all equal. So you can see, for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is just a way for Allah to honor mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created man, for example, in Surah As-Saff in verse 75, Allah says, when He talks to Satan, and you know the ordeal that took place where Allah created Adam, and then He ordered the Malaika to prostrate to Adam. And obviously that itself has a value of why would Allah make the angels prostrate to Adam, which is a human being. When Allah says to the shaitan, because he rejected and refused to prostrate to Adam, He says to him, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدْ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدِي. What stopped you? What prevented you to prostrate to that which I created with my own hands? So look at the words, with my own hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to glorify and try to give status to His newly creation, which is man. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind, He created them to be all equal, to be all the same. So regardless of their faith, regardless of their belief, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all created from the same material. And He said, I created it with my own hands. So I think of it up like this. When, for example, a father, when he has kids, let's assume he has five kids. Amongst these five kids, let's say two are good doers, and three are bad doers. To the father, they're all his children. He has love for all of them, and he would give them all the same. Maybe, you know, his heart burns for those who are bad doers. Maybe those who are bad doers, maybe he will have some sort of punishment for them. But at the end of the day, they are His, and He has love for them. So when we look at each other from the scope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the scope of Islam, Allah said they are my creation. I created them with my own hands. Don't you dare come and create division between them and say, well, I am better than him, or I have a higher ranking than him, or I have a higher position than him because I have this and I have that. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person depending on his good deeds, on his good actions, but that does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, he favors one person over the other. Unless there's a sense of piety, then that favoring comes into place. Now, let us take a break, and then inshallah we'll continue this talk of ours.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are still listening to the program for humanity. So we want to look at this humanitarian case from an Islamic approach. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did when he created mankind, he said, I created them with my own hands. Like he said in Surah As-Saf, verse 75, خَلَقْتُهُ بِيَدِي, I created him with my own hands. So that itself is an honor for all human beings, that they are created by the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say the hand, obviously we don't mean the figurative hand, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a body. He's not a material like us, where he has body parts. But it's just to represent or to showcase, as a metaphorical word is used, to honor mankind because they are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the ticking point for Satan himself to shift directions. And he said, how could you glorify man over me, where I was made from fire and he's made from mud? So then pride came into play, and which is something that at times we might indulge ourselves in, to be, you know, to have that pride that I am better than the rest, I am this and I am that. And then Satan made that oath of his. He said, I will try my best to divert and misguide your servants as much as I can. And that is what we see happening in our modern day, because, you know, all these evil acts that we indulge in when it comes to trying to put ourselves on top of another is nothing but satanic itself. So all the wars that took place and all the evil that takes place, sometimes it starts with a whisper. Sometimes it starts with